You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hiwa is a vibrant, essential collection of contemporary Māori short stories released via Auckland University Press last week. It features 27 writers working in English or Te Reo Māori. The writers range from famous and recognisable names like Patricia Grace and Witi Ihamaira to emerging voices like Shelley Burnfield and Anthony Lapwood. A showcase of contemporary talent, Hiwa includes biographical introductions for each writer's work and explores the range of styles and subjects in the flourishing world of Māori fiction. To hear about the book, I caught up with editor Paula Morris. Here we are now.
Awesome. Oh, it's a real treat to have you in the studio, Paula. We're talking about Hiwa, a new anthology of Māori short stories, which was released last week. To start off with, could you explain what the book is?
Yeah, sure. It's an anthology, as you say, of contemporary Māori short stories, so all the writers in it are alive. Some of them are quite old and famous, like yes. Patricia Grace and Witi Ihamaira. Others are newer emerging writers of all ages. So there are 27 writers in the book, and four of them are writing in Te Reo Māori, everyone else in English. And there's a huge range of styles, subject matters, locations, and in fact some of the writers live overseas, they don't live in New Zealand, and hopefully it speaks to the wide range of experience that many Māori have today.
Mm. Is this the first time that an anthology like this has been published?
There have been a number of anthologies of different kinds over the years. Often anthologies mix genres, so you know they might have poetry and a non-fiction as well. Sometimes they have novel excerpts rather than just short stories. And a lot of them have a theme or a particular subject. So, for example, some very good recent anthologies like Puraako, which is writers reinventing Māori myth, obviously mythology was the theme for it, and we all had to work with Māori myths and update them. But for this one, I wanted writers to be able to write about whatever they wanted and to get a wide range of stories. And so, for example, Patricia Grace's story is about a young man going to Italy to play rugby. And so it's not necessarily what you would expect from Patricia Grace, but it's a really great and funny story. I didn't want to impose any sort of subject matter or limits on them because it's also, I think, a little bit hackneyed to have books like that which kind of impose this notion of what it means to be something on the writers.
Yes.
Whenever you say, oh, we've got an anthology and could you write about your experience as X and
then set more limits. Because you were in this box.
Yeah. And it's basically saying this is what Māori should write about. So.
So there are obviously more than 27 Māori writers. How did you choose whose work to compile in the anthology?
Because part of the process was to do an open call so that I could get in writers I don't know. Because I think it's really important when you're editing something to understand what you don't know. And to not think, oh, I know everyone. Because, of course, I could just summon up people I know and create an anthology out of that. And that's how a lot of anthologies are actually made in New Zealand, with people tapping the shoulders of the usual suspects. So we put out an open call in both English and Te Reo. So the consulting editor for Te Reo is Darren Joseph, who works at Massey. Apologies for the long pause. Darren Joseph, who works at Massey. And we put out this call and we got over 100 stories through the open call, which was great. And some of the writers I'd heard of or I knew because I knew they'd entered stories into, say, the Pikahuia contest at some point, or I just heard of them. And others I did not know at all. And in fact, one of those writers who I did not know at all, KT Harrison, who lives in Huntley, I met her at the launch for the first time. And I said to her, I'm so glad you sent me that story. I said, it's one of my favourite stories in the anthology. I know I shouldn't have favourites, but I said I was really delighted to get it. I was really delighted to include it. And I wouldn't have known about it had she not sent it to me. So I always encourage writers to answer open calls and get their work out there, because otherwise you'll miss out, because editors really don't know. And I was keen to have, as I said, a range of voices and a range of styles, and her work, her particular story that she included is set in Hamilton, and it's from the point of view of a homeless guy who dropped out of university and has ended up with a lot of hospitalizations and living on the streets, and it's just a fantastic story, and I was really proud to include it. So we did try to cast the net wide. Now, some famous Māori writers are not in there because they don't write short stories.
Yes.
They write novels, or they write essays, or they write poetry, and they're not short story writers, and
yeah,
that's fine.
And it is a very particular form of writing. Are you able to speak to that a little bit, I guess, the power or the uniqueness of a short story?
Yeah, short story is quite a different beast from a novel, and some would say it's a harder form to work with because it's more compressed. It's a much more compressed form, and it's very demanding of the writer to create a shapely narrative, often in a very short space. Now, the longest story in Hiwa is about 10,000 words long, which is quite substantial. But we also have flash fiction by Jack Ramiel Cottrell, graduate of this university, where he's working with 300 words.
Wow.
And writing
that
some amazing...
That is an impressive feat. Oh, my goodness.
So, and then everything in between. So the shorter it is, sometimes the harder it is to write.
Mm.
And, yeah, not all novelists can write stories.
Mm. Yeah, very particular skill. Can we talk about the name Hiwa? What does that mean, and why have you chosen it to capture the words of these 27 writers?
I've been obsessed with Hiwa for quite a while, actually, and wanting to use her name in something. She is the ninth star of Matariki, and she's the one that we make a wish on, the one we send our desires up to in the sky. Now, traditionally that was, can we have a good growing harvest? Can we be prosperous? Can our crops flourish? You know, can it be a good year in that way? But it's also about other deep desires.
Mm.
And I thought of this as a time of very vigorous growth in the area of Māori writing. We've had a number of Māori writers either emerge or be recognised at book awards recently. I mean, this year we had two Māori writers in the novel category, Monty Suter and Michael Bennett. Last year, the novel category at the Ockham New Zealand Book Awards was won by Whiti Hereaka. Before that, 2 years, Becky Manawatu won the big fiction prize at the Ockham New Zealand Book Awards. And Becky and Whiti are both in this anthology. So it's a time of what I see as vigorous growth, of prosperity in terms of the richness of art that's available. And so we've been sending our wishes up to Hiwa, and they're kind of paying off at the moment, I think. So this is a good period. So it's not, as I say in the introduction, I'm not celebrating a Maori new wave. It's a lot of the names in the anthology have been around for a long time and are still producing fantastic work, and some of them are brand new. But we're part of a good season of growth. And so the book is really celebrating the riches that are out there.
Yeah, and if someone were to sit down and read the book from start to finish, what essence do you think they would take away from all of the stories?
Well, in every anthology, there are going to be stories that are to your taste and ones that are not. And in fact, the beginning and ending story are so incredibly different because it's arranged alphabetically. So Shelley Byrne Field's story that begins it feels quite traditional in style, a story within a story, someone telling a younger person a story about her own childhood.
Mm.
And it's a lovely story. It's a very traditional form that many readers will be familiar with. The final story by Nick Twemlow, who lives in the States and is a poet by background, has a completely different form and uses slashes to indicate line breaks rather than our usual sentence form, and is much more impressionistic and very stylish in a sort of artfully stylish way.
Mm.
So they're two extremes of style really in the book, and I hope when people do read through they will note the differences,
yeah,
while knowing that some things they'll really like and other things maybe will pass them by. Some things may be too dark, some things may be funny in a weird way, because there's obviously everything in there.
Yes, and knowing that for others, those things that they don't like will be hitting home for someone else, yeah, which is the beauty of reading an anthology. You have also contributed a story by the name of Isn't It. Would you like to tell me about that as the one story that we go into in detail while we talk?
Sure. And I should say I've edited an anthology before of short stories, a Penguin book of contemporary New Zealand short stories, I think, ages ago. And I didn't put one of mine in because I thought it was the wrong thing to do. But then I've seen everyone else put themselves in anthologies, and I thought, I'm not leaving myself out this time. So there I am. Obviously, I did not have to apply. I just chose my story. Isn't It is a contemporary take on a Catherine Mansfield story, The Garden Party, but it's set in contemporary Auckland, because I think personally that The Garden Party is very much about real estate. It's very much about the rich people living high up, the poor people living low down.
Yes.
and the poor people got the bad view, the poor people in the street that floods, and obviously that's profoundly relevant to contemporary Auckland. And also I think I wrote it when I first returned here, and I went to the New World in Mount Roskill for the first time, and I thought that would be a good location for a story. So New World and Mount Roskill plays its part. And I'm very interested also in the obsession with Auckland, and I understand why, about subdividing property. But it means that the city that I grew up in is very, very different now. And even the street I grew up in, which had almost no cars parked along it when I was growing up, now has two properties in the space of one, and of course many more cars, and it's really different in nature. So we're kind of cramming in our city, and as you know, it's also ludicrously expensive, abominably expensive, and so there are extremes in Auckland that I wanted to play with in a satirical way. The story's also quite rude about Wellington, and I always enjoy putting that into my stories in some ways. So, but it was just hopefully a funny story that's also a reflection of a contemporary city in a way that I think Mansfield was often doing in her work. She was writing about contemporary society. And so I wanted to write about contemporary society as well, but it's a little bit different.
The cover of the book is absolutely beautiful. Do you want to speak to that a little bit and then perhaps tell listeners where they can go and get a copy if they'd like to?
Sure. All books are a collaboration. They really are. So even, I mean, obviously with the anthology, I'm collaborating with all these writers. But then there's quite a substantial team at Auckland University Press who's working on it as well. And also other people they bring in, other editors they bring in to work with us, a Te Reo editor, an English language editor, to work on the actual words on the page, you know, make sure everything is right. But then design-wise, they also bring in other people. So there was a Māori design agency, and then beyond that, they contract an artist as well to create the cover, which is a very beautiful blue, and panels and designs that are used throughout the interior of the book as well. So there's a lot of discussion about it, a lot of thought that goes into it. So when I look at the book, I see a collaborative work of art with many people's hands in it, both visual and in the writing sense. So people can buy it at most bookshops, but I will put in a special plea for people to buy it at an independent bookshop, and for that independent bookshop that reports to Nielsen Bookscan.
Okay.
So, for example, if you go to, say, Time Out in Mount Eden,
yes,
or the Women's Bookshop on Ponsonby Road, any sale there is reported as an official sale, and so the book has more chance of being on the chart. If you buy the book at Whitcalls, which I don't want to disrespect Whitcalls, but they don't report to the chart, so so we could sell a million copies at Whitcalls.
And we'd have no idea.
No idea at all, except I'd be rich.
And it's not a trivial thing. We do have to get the work out there and make sure that people are engaging and reading it.
That was Paula Morris speaking with me about Hiwa, a new collection of Māori short stories for which Paula was the editor.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.